It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President, Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, President Jasinski visits with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Support comes from United Electric Cooperative, Clarinda Regional Health Center, and Atchison Holt Electric. And now, the 10th president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. And listeners, we do highlight the great work and the great play, the collaboration and the developments throughout our region. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners, KXEV, KRNW, trust you are having a pleasant February, and I'm pleased, very pleased to welcome you to the February edition of our show. In our first segment, we meet Steve Bratt and Greg McDaniel, and they discuss the City of Maryville's recent annexation of the Kawasaki property, bond issuance, plan expansion, bringing additional jobs to the region, and support for the 4th Street Improvement Project. Kawasaki has been a long-term, great corporate citizen, and we'll hear from Steve Bratt, plant manager, as well as the city manager, Greg McDaniel. In segment two, we will meet with Jackie Allenbrand, and we'll find out more about the Farm Dog USA. That's PHARM, Farm Dog USA, Pets Helping Agriculture in Rural Missouri. It's the brainchild of Jackie Allenbrand, and she's a 1991 graduate of Northwest Missouri State University. The organization's goal is to make life easier for farmers and farm family members with disabilities. And those eligible for services may have any type of disability, physical, cognitive, or illness-related. Their services are not limited to Missouri, as you'll find out, and they do place dogs in other states. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. To begin, I welcome Steve Bratt and Greg McDaniel to All Things Northwest. Steve Bratt began his career with Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing Corporation USA back in 1976 as a fine boring operator in the fabrication department in Lincoln, Nebraska. Steve has held several positions in the Kawasaki family back in the Lincoln facility, and then he was promoted to supervisor in 1984. In 1988, Steve was selected to fill the position of general foreman at the soon-to-be-opened Maryville plant. Steve brought to Maryville his knowledge of the Kawasaki production system, they call it KPS, and his vast experience of setting up and running an assembly process. Steve has been and remains active in the Maryville community. He has served as past and current director of the Nottoway County Economic Development Corporation, and he also remains in contact with and regularly meets with other Maryville manufacturing plant managers. He's diligent regarding Kawasaki's corporate responsibilities by ensuring the continued support of monetary and material donations for area schools and other charitable and socially responsible organizations. I should mention that in September of 2014, Steve was honored by Northwest Missouri State University with induction as an honorary alumnus. Greg McDaniel was born in Marshall, Missouri. He attended Northwest Missouri State, graduating in 2002 with a bachelor's in geography with a minor in geographic information systems. Greg completed a master's degree in public administration with an urban emphasis in 2009. He worked for the City of Independence, Missouri for 7 years in public works administration and was the city administrator of Cherryvale, Kansas for 2.5 years before returning to Maryville in 2012. He lives here in Maryville with his daughter, Taylor, who's a first grader at Horace Mann right here on the Northwest campus. And with that, I welcome to the program Steve Bratt and Greg McDaniel. Steve and Greg, welcome.
Hello.
Hello, thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, so many good things going on around the city of Maryville, and at the top of the list is certainly Kawasaki and what you do, Steve. You know, to begin the program, I think what's best for our listeners is, for those that are unaware, what does Kawasaki do?
We produce lawn and garden engines for mostly commercial side. So we have engines ranging from about 13 horsepower all the way up to 38 horsepower.
And how big is your operation?
Our operation is right now just under 800,000 square feet with a little over 800 employees.
All right. An incredible, incredible operation. If you haven't been able to go through the facility, it's very fascinating. And what you do, Steve, is awesome. Greg just set the stage. City of Maryville, what does a city manager do? But also tell us a little bit about the city.
Sure. The city of Maryville is the third-class city in Missouri. As a city manager, I'm appointed by the city council to run the day-to-day operations of the city. We have five council members elected at large and one mayor that's appointed.
Well, gentlemen, you two, the reason we have you on All Things Northwest, we talk about great things happening in the region. You've brokered a partnership, and Steve, I've talked to you offline about that. You've talked about being a good corporate citizen. I've said Kawasaki's been a great corporate citizen for long term, but it's all changed just recently with the voluntary annexation and so many other aspects that went into all of that. Talk to us about the key factors about why the annexation.
It basically started back in August of last year when we were looking at our 25-year celebration. Our president, Scott Kiyama from KHI Japan, was here, and we started talking, and he was very surprised to find out that we were not really in the city limits. And another topic was that the same thing happened in our Lincoln, Nebraska facility, where they are outside of city limits. And about 15 years to 20 years after they were in there, they decided to go ahead and do the annexation also. So I took that as an opportunity to be able to speak with our top leadership, and they were all for it. They said, yeah, we should be part of the city. What's it going to take? What do we got to do? And after I went through all of those issues that we had to address, they all said, go ahead. You know, let's do it. Let's be that good corporate citizen.
And City Manager McDaniel said, oh, no, we don't want you to do that. Is
yeah.
that how it went down between you two? Or
not
what?
Exactly.
Not exactly. So, Greg, what was your response? I mean, how did you respond?
You know, really, it started again with the 25th anniversary of Kawasaki. The city was a big part of that celebration and recognizing their existence in Maryville. And you know, even though they were a huge corporate partner with Maryville, they were just outside of that city limits line. So I think it began a series of long discussions with Kawasaki leadership and just about the long-term visions of the community and the company and how we can partner in the future on transportation, quality of life, and just a whole host of issues, and economic growth and economic development. I think the city of Maryville has proven that we know how to and are willing to use the economic tools that are at our disposal to help a company grow. So I think that all of that kind of went into a nice discussion piece and ended in a voluntary annexation result.
And I will say, Steve, that having been part of that 25th anniversary celebration and just kind of watching from afar, if you will, it was pretty apparent to me that the corporate supporters that were here in Maryville were pretty enthralled by what you guys have done at the plant and certainly through your leadership and so many others. You know, it's been significant. So they have the support, and this annexation wouldn't have happened if they wouldn't have had the support. But that 25th anniversary means a lot for the city. Would you not agree?
I would agree, but it also means a lot to Kawasaki.
You bet.
Again, and we would not be where we are today if it wasn't for the workforce in our area. The workforce is just outstanding. They care about what they're doing. They care about their company. They care about the product that they're making. And they also care about what our product goes into. So they're very passionate at what they do, and they made Kawasaki. So it wasn't me or top management. It was the workforce that made it.
You bet. And you've been very consistent about that. It's no question when you have over 800 employees, you know, the workers make the difference. And they make a difference for corporate to see that, wow, this is the place to be. Greg, that 25th anniversary was a marker of sorts. You say, wow, 25 years. But then you start thinking about, well, how do we look ahead for having them be here for another 25, 50, 75 years, right?
Absolutely, and that's exactly our statement at the time was how do we work with them to continue to grow, and certainly through the voluntary annexation process and again with the economic development tools at our disposal, let's work with our existing industry and see them grow and succeed in the future.
And that annexation means more funds for the city of Maryville, our library, And Maryville Parks and Rec, does it not?
Correct. It was approximately $175,000 of additional revenue to a whole host of entities, including the City of Maryville Parks and Recreation and the Maryville Public Library, both of which the latter two have struggled in recent years with funding issues. And so, you know, again, the support is appreciated.
So, gosh, 25th anniversary, Steve. A few months ago, annexation, you know, just recently. But now, all of a sudden, we're talking about a major plant expansion. So, you know, the story just gets better and better. Let's talk about that a little bit.
We've been busy running full capacity for the last 2.5 years.
And when you say full capacity, what does that mean?
Meaning we're running 7 days a week, basically. Okay. So, again, we created some new tools, such as we're looking at adding a weekend crew to where they would work Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 8-hour shift and get paid for 40. That's to help use our capital equipment that we have. All the machinery that we put in is very, very expensive. It's, you know, a basic machining center is $150,000 to $200,000. A new die casting machine is well over $3 million. So to utilize our capacity to full bore, we are running 7 days a week. Our OEMs, our customers, are demanding more product. They really like the Kawasaki engine. It's got a great stand in the marketplace. It's a preferred engine over all the other ones. I won't get into those names. But in order for us to increase our capacities, we need to expand. And so most of it, we're going to start in our machining area. So we're adding in over 100,000 square feet. We're also going to invest in new machining lines and then also replace some existing equipment that needs to be replaced. That's phase one that we see, and that's what we're talking about today. And that will also increase our workforce by, I'm estimating, 30 or more people.
It's amazing. Greg, I mean, as a city manager, you know, great timing here, but well, that's a great story for the city.
It is. And what Steve underplays here is a $25 million investment from the company here for the first initial phase. And that simply signifies to the community that they're here to stay. They're mm-hmm. willing to invest in their infrastructure, in their building, and really a big win for the community.
And, you know, you talk about big win for the community, but Steve, it isn't just the expansion. It's also buying some tax credits on the 4th Street Improvement Project. Maybe talk about that as well.
Yeah, sure. I proposed this to our president, and at first he said, well, I don't quite understand that. But once you explained it to him, he says, well, sure, yeah, we need to do this.
Explain to our listeners what we tried to tell the president.
Well, basically, you know, there's a 70% tax credits that you can get, also some federal side. I'm not that up to date on it. But basically, I explained to him why they are available. The first thing I thought, well, they didn't understand this. So after I explained how the tax system works as best I could, and I also informed that we did this on the streetscape. We did $100,000, I think, on that project. And so he said, well, okay, what's left? And how much do they have available? So I told him I think there was $200,000 still available, so we decided to do $100,000 this fiscal year and another $100,000 in April in our new fiscal year. So, again, it helps improve the 4th Street project. We're all for that. We think beautification of Maryville, Missouri is should be top priority, just because as we bring in our prospect employees, especially on the professional side, first impression is first impression.
You bet. And Greg, you know, when you talk about the 4th Street Improvement Project, for our listeners, if you've been in Maryville, you know that we've had some construction going on since last summer, roughly speaking. But this latest news is big time for the 4th Street Improvement Project.
It's huge. The city and NCED were successful to get these tax credits from the Missouri Department of Economic Development. However, we had to turn around and then sell them to interested businesses as a contribution towards the project. And at this time, we had close to $200,000 remaining. We did have an obligation to sell those by the end of 2015, or the city's general fund would be liable for that balance. And really, when Kawasaki stepped up and purchased the remainder of that, it really signified not only Kawasaki's view of how important the 4th Street corridor is, but just signify that the completion of the funding that we needed to finish the project.
And so when you talk about completion of the project, this gets the funding to complete, meaning both sides, north and south side of the 4th Street and so on.
Yeah, this gets us our contractual obligation right now is about $1.8 million for the entire project. We'll be wrapping that up here late spring and keeps contractor going on the project, and that, again, we should see completion soon.
That's outstanding. So, Greg, I think about the city, you know, traditional city role and bureaucratic organizations, universities, maybe I'll throw in there and so on, you know, red tape. Sometimes, right. You know, you say, how do we get things through the system? And, you know, 25th anniversary was what, back in August, and here it is, it's February, I'm sorry, I've already catapulted here to February, but, you know, that's pretty quick to do all these different elements. How do you clear out the red tape, and what's the role of the city council in all of that?
Sure. I think several years ago, the city council made a statement that they wanted to be progressive in economic development, to eliminate the red tape, to expedite plan reviews, everything we can do to help companies relocate and grow here in Maryville. And certainly one of the best things you can do is work with your existing industry to expand. There are a lot less relocations these days. There are a lot more expansions of industry in your local communities. So really, we just need to look in our economic development toolbox and see what applies to each project. There are certain incentives available and other things that we can work with the company on. And I think it's been a council mind frame to do what we can to work with our existing business and make it happen.
Okay. Steve, you referenced earlier that quality of life and, you know, whether it ranges from transportation infrastructure to trails projects and so on. Why is that important to a corporate entity like Kawasaki?
Well, I believe that, you know, taking care of your employees is part of our responsibility as a employer. And obviously quality of life is a very important aspect of that, family, but also as a key recruiting tool to be able to explain to outside people that we're looking at bringing in. You know, we have the trails program, we have Mazingo Lake or Mazingo Recreational area. I mean, Maryville, I came 25 years ago and it's changed completely than what it was 25 years mm-hmm. ago. It's a great place to live. Not saying it wasn't back then,
right.
But it's improved so much that it helps retain the employees once you get them here too. So quality of life is very, very important.
Listeners, you're listening to All Things Northwest on KXEV, KRNW. I'm your host, John Jasinski, speaking today with Kawasaki plant manager here in Maryville, Steve Bratt, and City of Maryville city manager, Greg McDaniel. Steve and Greg, as I think about the past 25 years you just referenced, Steve, having been here and seen progression in the community, and then the celebration of Kawasaki for being here 25 years. You know, it's interesting because I think the city is now at a point in 2015 that it's primed for new opportunities and new growth. So someone that comes in now will look back 25 years and say, wow, this place has changed quite dramatically over the last 25 years. As you two look ahead to your collective entities, the City of Maryville, Kawasaki, here not just in 2015 but through 2020 and beyond, what are some opportunities that you see out there and maybe even some challenges? Greg, you want to take a stab at that?
Sure. I think it goes back to economic development and quality of life and all the things we've talked about. But really, I see the future as just kind of building momentum. I think there's a lot of things that are happening in this community right now, and you said it yourself, 2015 is setting the stage for a big year. And I think the more quality of life improvements, the more industrial expansions we have, the more economic development opportunities, that's just a ball that keeps rolling downhill for our community in a positive way. And just, you know, looking forward to working with Steve further at Kawasaki and seeing what we can do together.
Greg, as you think ahead and think about all the projects going on, for our listeners, what's in the store here in 2015 and perhaps even beyond?
Sure. One of our biggest projects this year that is kind of out of sight, out of mind for the majority of the public is our wastewater treatment facility. We were mandated by the EPA and MDNR for a $13.75 million wastewater treatment facility. That project's been in construction for over a year and a half, and due to a wonderful contractor who's worked Saturdays in cold weather, we're on schedule and will be operational by July 1st, 2015. So that's a major infrastructure project for the City of Maryville that will support not only our existing sewage capacity, but growth in industry and long-term will help us out in that avenue as well. One of the other major projects that we'll work on this year is in an annual project is our mill and overlay for street conditions in the City of Maryville. City Council has dedicated about $400,000 towards the annual mill and asphalt project this year, and should get us about 4 linear miles of streets throughout the community. So if you ask the average citizen one thing that they really want to see each year, it's street conditions and street improvements. And so we know that that'll be well received in some of the areas, and some of the areas to the university as well will be overlaid this year with that program. Really, just a whole host of things going on at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. That 3,000-acre park, 1,000-acre lake, is just becoming a regional tourist hub, and we know that one of our major projects this year will be the ribbon cutting on the Tom Watson Design Junior Golf Course at Mazingo. We know that's going to be a substantial boom for the region and really for youth golf and some of the other programs that we have out at Mazingo.
Well, so much going on, Greg, and, you know, it's kind of funny. I probably don't do as good a job as I should in talking about that wastewater treatment plant, because that is a significant project, and it's been long term. It's been in the planning stages, and you know what? Kudos, because that's a long term project that will pay dividends down the road. And Steve?
Well, you know, I'm looking at 2025 or whatever. Obviously, road improvement needs to be one of the things on the agenda. I know there's the South Street Corridor project coming up. Kawasaki wants to be involved with that as much as possible. Also, we need to be looking at our housing. You know, to be able to capture these people, to bring them into Maryville, we need to look at affordable housing for them. So that's one of the topics I think that industry is working with Nottoway Economic Development on. We're talking about those issues. So improving the quality of life is very important, but my opinion on doing that is looking at your roads, looking at your infrastructure, and then also looking at the housing side of it.
Okay. And Steve, if I can, if you think about Kawasaki and its changes over those 25 years, just like the city, I suppose you can look back and see how the plant has progressed. And I'm not just talking about all of the expansions, because there's been so many, but kind of in your mind's eye, can you give, for our listeners' sake, how Kawasaki has progressed over those 25 years?
Well, we started with one model and building one engine, a single-cylinder, 4.5-horsepower engine that only required 6 machining lines and 3 die casting machine and 2 assembly lines. We currently now have over 45 machining lines in there. We have 8 die casting machines. We have 10 assembly lines right now. So we've grown with inside, but we've gone from a small product to a V-twin liquid cooled. It's our flagship engine that's used on very, very high end product. All of our staff has learned new techniques, new things, and that's what the community needs also, is skilled employees. So it's getting harder and harder to find these skilled employees. So I think industry needs to really be working with our school systems, our universities, our trade system, possibly even looking outside to a community college to help build the skilled labor, this gap that we have right now. A lot of that is being done in-house now, inside Kawasaki. So from just hiring somebody off the street and putting them into a job is no longer a way of life. So Kawasaki has progressed internally on training these people to meet the needs that we need our staff to understand.
You know, it's kind of funny, gentlemen, as I think about it, the city of Maryville, Kawasaki, Northwest Missouri State, how we've progressed over the last 25 years, individually, but certainly corporately. And we're all in that progression stage right now. At the university, we talk about disrupting from a position of strength currently. And as I think about the city of Maryville, Kawasaki, Northwest Missouri State University, and really most of the structures around us today, we're all kind of disrupting. Our industries are going through a lot of changes, and we're being responsive and proactive. So, boy, hats off to you guys, to your leadership teams, to your employees, because I know they make a significant difference each and every day.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I agree.
Listeners, you've been listening to Steve Bratt, Kawasaki, and Greg McDaniel from the city of Maryville, right here on All Things Northwest. When we return to All Things Northwest, we'll visit with Jackie Ellenbrand, and we'll discuss the Farm Dog USA program. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXEB KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center. Celebrating its 75th anniversary, CRHC has been providing health care in southwest Iowa and northwest Missouri since 1939. More at clarindahealth.com. Atchison Holt Electric reminds you that sealing air leaks and gaps in the walls of your home's outside basement walls will prevent energy waste this winter. More information is at www.ahec.coop.
From the moment you wake up, through the chaos of your busy morning, Morning Edition is there with you.
Good morning, I'm Steve Inskeep. Protesters have been
through all you have to do, we'll bring you all you need to know every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us from 4 until 9 on 90.5 and 88.9.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from United Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Missouri and Iowa. This winter, United Electric reminds you to use caution when using space heaters and electric blankets by checking for frayed, brittle, or cracked cords. More at UECI.coop.
Welcome back to the February edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Jasinski. We'll now visit with Jackie Allenbrand. Jackie lives on a farm with her husband, Chris, in Gentry County. Jackie is a proud alumna of Northwest and graduated in 1991 with a BS degree in education and special education. Chris and Jackie raise cattle and always used border collies to help bring in the cattle and to help sort. And this spawned the idea of farm dog, pets helping agriculture in rural Missouri. Jackie currently works for the University of Missouri Hundley Whaley Research Center in Albany, and she's always a Bearcat at heart. Jackie, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me here.
Well, we love to hear that you're always a Bearcat at heart. We know that you are, but wow. What, you know, the more that I've kind of talked to people and done some research and so on, how fascinating this program is. In the intro, I kind of referenced about how this may have come about, but kind of give the background to your thinking about how you got to Farm Dog USA.
Okay, well, how it all started actually was in 2005, and I was on my way to the big town of Atlantis Grove, Missouri.
Oh, yes.
It's a blink and you miss it town, but nice folks, and passed one of those wooden log signs in a yard where, you know, the names are carved, and there's a farmer that lives there, and his wife is a pharmacist. And that log said the farm, P-H-A-R-M. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had a strange mind, I'll admit, and I thought the world needs another acronym. That looks like a good one for something. And anyway, that's how the P-H-A-R-M came to be, Pets Helping Agriculture in Rural Missouri. We've always used dogs on our farm, and most farmers have dogs, so why not train them for a specific purpose?
So this got started in 2005, kind of a drive-through, if you will. But then what happens after 05 and how this all? Talk to our listeners about what Farm Dog is specifically, but then how it got started after 05.
Well, Farm Dog, of course, is Pets Helping Agriculture in Rural Missouri. And at the time, I was working with a program called AgriAbility, and we worked with farmers with disabilities. And like I said, we had always used dogs on our farm with our cattle, border collies
border
mainly.
Collies,
mm-hmm. We refer to our farm dogs as four-legged farmhands because they can take the place of another person, save time and energy. And, you know, then that farmer can use their time and energy on something else on the farm. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was me, myself, and I from 2005 until 2009, and no funding, just really small grants that I had written. And in 2009, we placed our first dog, actually with a farmer not too far from here, Dennis Smits in Parnell, Missouri. And that's really where it started to take off. I had found a trainer, and he was willing to train the dogs and donate dogs for free to our program because he saw the value in it himself. So from then, we've advanced a little bit and placed about 10 dogs now. And still always hurting for money, of course, but really it's a heart project and not necessarily a money project.
And so what goes into that training of the dogs?
Well, We use border collies for the herding mm-hmm. side of things, and we use Labradors or lab mixes, saved from shelters or rescues, for the service side of things. So we have a border collie trainer in Plattsburgh, Missouri, and we have a trainer, a border collie trainer in Packwood, Iowa. And they work with the dogs on the cattle, sheep, goats, the herding side of things. And they can be started a lot quicker, of course, than a service animal. Service animal, we have a lady near where I live in Gentry County that helps. And the service side takes a year, over a year at some times, because you're training them more with more skills, such as opening gates, carrying buckets, using them for mobility. So it's a more detailed training.
And so that can last up to a year or so. How long would this training take?
Well, for the service side, for service dogs, for the Labradors, if they're used for mobility or if they're used for opening gates or retrieving things, that actual training can take up to a year, maybe a year and a half.
Okay.
On the border collie side of things, you can get a really good start on a border collie. Even at 6 months, you can get a really good start. So that's a little bit quicker training.
So you go through the training. It might be 6 months, depending, or maybe a year or a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, you need to place it. You've placed 10 dogs. You need to place them. Do you place them just locally, or is it state of Missouri or beyond?
Well, we do have the state of Missouri in our title. But when I registered the name in 2012, it became its own nonprofit, and we decided to add USA to it, Farm Dog USA, because we wanted people to know we will train and place dogs in other states. A majority of our dogs have gone within the state of Missouri, but we have placed one in Kansas a year and a half ago with a gentleman that was from Beaver City, Nebraska. But he worked in Kansas, and he received a homeless border collie that we took in and trained, and now he's turned into a great helper for him.
Jackie, you have social media tools obviously available, and you also, I think, are publicized nationally through different publications. So talk about your use of social media and kind of what kind of national recognition you've gained.
Well, we are in this month's issue of Country Woman magazine. It's their 45th anniversary of Amazing Women in Country, and somehow I got nominated for that. And so we are in there, and it gives us a mention on Farm Dog and how we have helped farmers with disabilities. We're also in the Kansas Farmer magazine, Missouri Ruralist. Some of you know the Tractor Supply magazine called Out Here. It's in 44 states, and we've recently received some requests for dogs from Colorado and West Virginia, a veteran in New York, and so we're getting some publicity now and getting the word spread. We also are starting a GoFundMe campaign. There's a lot of those out there, and crowdfund. Mm-hmm. Fundraising, and we're hoping to reach our goal, but if not, something's always better than nothing. So that's what we're working on currently.
Well, congratulations on the kudos, and they are well-deserved honors, obviously, but it's pretty apparent that the country is taking note, and that, you know, like all good things, you know, from 2005, you know, the first few years, it's, what'd you say, you, yourself, and I, me, myself, and I, But beyond that, though, you know, growth comes slow, and then all of a sudden, wow, people take note, and that's kind of what's happening with Farm Dog USA. Is that true?
Yes, it seems to be the case, and, you know, we've really done a lot of this. It's been 10 years, and we've done a lot of this on little or no funding. I've never taken a salary for this because there wasn't any money to take a salary for it, and we've got three trainers that also give of their time training dogs. We travel to the farm when we place the dog, so we stay there and teach them the commands so they don't have to come off the farm and can continue farming while we're there teaching the commands, and none of those trainers have ever taken a salary either. So that's why our fundraising efforts have increased a little bit, so we can continue to do what we love doing, and that's to help farmers.
What an incredible program. And so as you think about some of the stories that you've heard, kind of relate to our listeners here on All Things Northwest on KXCB KRNW, what some of the success stories are.
I wish that Alda Owen could have been with us today, but she was unable to make the trip. She's what we consider a success story. She received a border collie puppy, which she named Sweet Baby Joe. And some farmers want to start out with puppies to get used to their facilities and their farm, and then we continue to work with them on training, however the farmer thinks best. And Alda found out that she was legally blind at age 10, and she's a breast cancer survivor. Didn't know that she had the possibilities of going for further education and that she could do those things, and always felt kind of held back because she was afraid to move forward. And she's told me that because of this dog and because of some assistance on the farm, she feels more independent. She now speaks in front of groups of people and travels to conferences with me, and I refer to her as my little spitfire farmer because she advocates for herself and for others. So I consider her one of our successes. And there's a gentleman south of Hamilton, Missouri, that has a traumatic brain injury. He has one of our service dogs. His name is Odie. Came from a shelter, and he uses him for mobility purposes. He had fallen a lot, and Odie wears a harness, and that helps Bruce to walk. And Odie is laser trained. So if you leave a hammer or a wrench laid over somewhere else where you were working and you've moved to a new location, you can shine a laser on the hammer and Odie will go get the hammer. And so therefore that saves Bruce those steps of going to get those tools, and he can use that time and energy elsewhere on the farm.
You bet. And you referenced that you go to conferences, obviously. Talk about that a little bit.
When I was working with the AgriBility program, I traveled to several national conferences that they rotate those around each year and spoke to 24 state representatives were usually there from the AgriBility program. And they all work with farmers with disabilities. So I did some national speaking there, and also have done some other disability-related conferences, spoke to them about how animals can be helpful on the farm.
And speaking of that, what about your dog and on your farm? You have a border collie, or what do you have? And
yes, we have actually three border collies.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Buddy, Annie, and Tuff, and they help my husband quite a bit on the farm when he does a lot by himself, or if I'm not out there able to help him. You can send a dog far out to in the pasture, it depends, and you can stand at the gate. The border collie's natural instinct is to go out and gather and herd them back where you want them to be. So instead of us having to walk all the way out in the pasture, you send the dogs, they bring them back to where you need them to be and can sort them off and into corrals or whatever you're working on at the time.
I'm wondering, could you train a dog to help a university president do a few things?
Well, that probably could be possible. You have a dog, I saw. You still have Ruby, is that right?
Ruby, and she's trained me well, let me tell you. So our listeners probably know that.
But, good to have around for not just physical reasons, but also for emotional purposes as well.
So many good purposes. And, you know, the concept of Farm Dog USA is tremendous. And you obviously are having a pretty huge impact. How does, you know, our listeners to All Things Northwest are saying, gosh, how do I get involved? How do I learn more about Farm Dog USA? What, do you have a website, telephone number? What can listeners do here?
Yes, we do have a website, and it is farmdog.org. Of course, that's PHARMDOG.org. We are our own nonprofit now. We are not funded by the university or anybody else. So we are always looking for folks to help us out, but we want you to also be educated on what the program is in case someone needs any help. The phone number is 660-235-0128. We're also on Facebook and at Farm Dog USA and Twitter at Farm Dog USA.
Love it. All the social media tools, and you know, make sure that listeners know how to gather more information about the program. Jackie Ellenbrand, fascinating, and I'm sorry that Elda Owen could not join us, but what you're doing with Farm Dog USA certainly is having a value-added effect, and we appreciate what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate you having me here. Thank you very much.
That's Jackie Ellenbrand joining us here on All Things Northwest, right here on KXCBKRNW. And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Steve Brad of Kawasaki, Greg McDaniel, City Manager of the City of Maryville, and Jackie Ellenbrand from Farm Dog USA. Thanks, too, to our producer, Ben Nelly, a student here at Northwest Missouri State University. I call him a super student, a super senior, along with KXCB station manager Rodney Harris. Thanks to Rodney. Friends, take good care, treat each other well, provide good works for others, and keep celebrating and advancing our region. I'm John Jasinski, and thanks for your support of All Things Northwest, KXCB, KRNW, and public radio.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from United Electric Cooperative, Clarinda Regional Health Center, and Atchison Holt Electric. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. This program is written and produced by multimedia journalism major Ben Noly. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.